This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Cameras and Taylor fighting the media. It feels almost more than fighting for the innocence of Brian Koberger. It should be noted, she should make sure his fly is zipped up next time they get on camera, though. But what's your take on all of this, where she really doesn't want those cameras in the courtroom? She really doesn't want anyone looking at Brian Koberger more than they already have. I guess the question is, why? He's just being himself. He's all cleaned up now. What's the issue?
Well, from the very beginning, if you recall, Tony, she did not want any cameras in that courtroom. She doesn't want it covered in that way. I think basically because no matter how many eyebrow hairs they cut, how clean cut they do his hair and what suit he has on, he just has, I don't know how to say it other than a bit of a maniacal appearance.
Yeah.
You know, it's been discussed from the minute he was arrested on his eyes, how they are affixed in a certain way. And I think she just really doesn't want him on camera because there's no way to put him on camera in a positive light.
And that's got to really drive, I would think, the family nuts. Granted, Koberger is innocent until proven guilty. But I even saw you tweeted this week. I mean, the parents, and they're arguing over showing Koberger on camera. They're never going to see their kids again. And this is a man with a lot of strong evidence against him for being the one responsible.
It's got to be so painful for the families to see the kid gloves with which he is being handled. You know, it started out with these vegan diets and, you know, escorted to church and, you know, all the media in his cell. I'm talking from a parent standpoint, yeah. Seeing the kid gloves he's treated with. I understand he has not obviously been convicted in a court of law, but nevertheless, the facts are very strong and the pain they must feel watching that, knowing they'll never see their children on camera ever again.
Now that the decision has been made to waive the speedy trial, this is obviously going to take some time to figure out exactly when this will be going to trial. Between now and then, however long that is, what do you see happening in the meantime? The investigation's not going to stop till this thing is literally in the courtroom. Is there more to find in terms of the prosecution digging into this, or does this really give just a lot more time for the defense to try and concoct something?
Well, I think we're going to see defense motion after defense motion. They are going to mire this down with every possible avenue to get evidence withheld from being introduced. So I look for that strongly. I also look forward to the judge's decision regarding the grand jury. I don't believe that the grand jury indictment will be overturned, but imagine if it is, Tony. Now we start all over again. Speedy trial won't exist as we know it in this matter because this case won't exist in that way. He'll still stay in jail. But Tony, can you imagine if that is ruled upon favorably? I don't think it will be. But Tony, I do think it's very possible this judge will get rid of cameras in the courtroom.
I think that's a very realistic possibility. I am wondering, though, about what he is going to rule on the grand jury and the other 24 points that are made in that motion, which will be decided on, I believe, later in the month here or early October. I don't have the exact date in front of me. I know that's been moved. What are your thoughts on all of those elements in that motion to dismiss that Ann Taylor has sent over, the grand jury and other things? Is there anything in there that you think, you know, that 24 bullets basically being shot at the judge to see if any of them stick?
Right. Well, September 22nd is what they continued that to after a request by the prosecution. It will certainly be a big day. And I can tell you right now that prosecution staff is, you know, working day and night to try to address each of those points because it's a lot of information in there. And they're going to have to reread the transcripts and go through what points. The only point that I think is interesting to a degree is the point about the prosecution withholding the exculpatory information. That just lights up, of course, as being so prominent. I don't think that happened. This prosecutor has been around the block for decades. He knows what he's doing. He's had high-profile cases, and he's been so successful, Tony, even having a murder trial positive conviction without a body, which is always a very difficult conviction to obtain. So I don't think we're going to find any malfeasance at all on the part of the prosecution, but it's going to be a painstaking hearing on the 22nd as they go through each of those points.
Where does it go when they argue something like that, saying that you have exculpatory evidence that you've not turned over, the prosecution saying, we've given you literally everything? Is it just a circle? I mean, one can keep yelling. It's like a child almost yelling, you know, give me the more candy. Like, there's no more candy to be given. What, I mean, at some point, don't they have to accept that, look, you have been given everything? And if for some magical, horrible reason, the prosecution decides to bring exculpatory evidence up at some point in time, which obviously they wouldn't do, I guess then they're wrong. But if they don't have it to begin with, what is this argument? Why do they keep screaming that they have it?
I see it in almost every trial setting, pre-trial setting. It's just what the defense does. They're going to keep motioning that there's more information, that we know it's there. I hate to say it's routine, but it really is somewhat routine. It's just part of the game that's played pre-litigation. And remember in the last hearing we had, Judge, in his sort of mild-mannered, non-emotional way, said, listen, you know, you, to Ann Taylor, you've got to start believing what the prosecutor's saying. You both are, you know, court representatives. You both are sworn, you know, presenters before this court. And basically lightly tapping Ann, I think, on the knuckles, saying, this has got to stop.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.